Stacey, I know you've just stepped out of the courtroom for us. Thank you for your time. What's been happening today?
Well, today we heard from a witness named Rudy Bareilles, and he is the man who made the 911 call the night that Laquan McDonald was shot that sort of put the chain of events in motion.
The 911 call. He's the guy that said this is the guy stealing the radios, that sort of thing?
Right. He said he called police and said, yeah, I'm in a truck yard and there's a guy going through trucks trying to steal radios. And he asked for help. He'd asked Laquan, he testified, to leave three times and he didn't. And that's when he called the police. But I should clarify that he never identified Laquan McDonald as the person in the truck yard that night. In fact, he described him as a black male about 5 foot five, when Laquan McDonald was 6 foot two. And the defense, I'm guessing on purpose, never asked him to identify a photo and say, is this the man you saw that night?
I have a question about the identity of Laquan McDonald. In the video that the defense produced and presented yesterday, did they have a hoodie on Laquan McDonald?
They did. They had him in a hoodie where you can see, in the actual video, you can see his hair. He's not completely covered by a hoodie, you know, as the animated video showed him. They also had him in head-to-toe black clothing, where in the actual video he has on, it is a dark hoodie, but it's, you know, blue jeans with very large, light-colored pockets on the back.
A hoodie is, I don't know, a signal to some people, rightly or wrongly, and a hoodie up on your hood, on your head, I think is, for some people, a little more threatening. That's the world we live in, so I think it's interesting that the defense put the hoodie up when, in fact, that was not the case.
Right, and in fact, the man who created the animation yesterday testified that he typically uses sort of crash test dummy figures in the videos, but in this case, he said they asked, he never said who they were, they asked to put skin on Laquan McDonald. So as in real life, in the video, Laquan McDonald is black and Jason Van Dyke is white.
Got it. Also, about today's testimony, the gentleman that placed the 911 call, is that just to establish a timeline of events? I mean, what do they have to gain by, this is the defense presenting their case, what's the purpose of even talking to this guy?
Well, he says, the man says that Laquan McDonald threatened him and actually tried to stab him with a knife after he told him to leave the truck yard and that he was calling calling the police. And he said that he was able to, you know, he threw his phone at Laquan and then he threw some gravel at him to get him away. And then Laquan ran away, he said. But again, he never identified him as Laquan. He was just referred to as the, quote, male black during the testimony.
And this maybe goes to something Eric Zorn wrote about in the Chicago Tribune today, and that is in Illinois, in a murder trial, you can present evidence that even the person that fired the gun wasn't aware of at the time if it speaks to the character or the behavior of the individual. Is that what's happening here?
Not with this witness. This witness actually, the law in Illinois also says that if you are fleeing after committing a forcible felony, then the police are justified in using lethal force against you. So, you know, the defense could argue that, like, hey, one of the reasons why Jason Van Dyke had the right to shoot Laquan McDonald was because Laquan McDonald had attempted to stab somebody and he was fleeing from that. The judge has already, and that they argued that he had tried to enter, or he had tried to steal radios that night. The problem is with that argument saying that he committed a forcible felony in the truck yard is A, no radios were found on Laquan McDonald when he died. So he did not steal anything, as far as the police have been able to prove, from the truck yard. And B, the victim in this case got on the stand but did not identify Laquan McDonald as the person who threatened him. And nobody disputed that it was, but they didn't take that extra step to you know, prove that it was, if that makes sense.
And I guess fleeing includes walking, huh? I mean, that's, he in the video, we do see him, in the actual video, we do see him running a little bit up the street, but
he ran.
Clearly when he was shot,
and he
was
runs at,
walking.
You're right. He does run at various times, according to the police accounts. And I think if you are told to stop and you don't stop, if a police officer tells you stop and you don't stop, I think that could be considered fleeing. And, you know, so I think that'll be a little bit up for the jury to decide. But the judge has already signaled prior to the trial even starting that he had his doubts about whether they could argue that what happened in the truck yard was a forcible felony. And it'll all depend on what instructions the jury gets.
One last question for Stacey St. Clair from the Chicago Tribune at the Jason Van Dyke trial. And that is, are they talking much about his character and past behavior? Again, I'm thinking about what Eric wrote about. I'm going to talk about that when I hang up with you, but just talk about that.
Yeah, we had two witnesses this morning that talked about two separate incidents. They both were employees of the juvenile detention center, and they both talked about incidents where they had to restrain Laquan in at the juvenile center because he didn't want to go to his pod at bedtime. And one of those incidents we've already heard about. So we've had two witnesses testify, one earlier in the week and then one today, about an April 2013 incident where he didn't want to go to his bed at 7:30. And then the second incident where he didn't want to go to bed that I learned about today. And then we've heard kind of duplicate stories from people at this point. Two stories about how on the same day he was unhappy that he was taken into juvenile custody at juvenile court. So it's a lot of the same repetition. And, you know, as one of the prosecutors said to the detention center worker today, you know, is it unusual for a 15-year-old boy at your facility to be unhappy about a 7:30 p.m. bedtime? And the woman answered, no, everyone is unhappy about the bedtime at 7:30.
This is the defense's case, so they are hoping that 5 years ago that he didn't want to go to bed at 7:30 is going to help them.
Right, and he did become violent. He did, you know, resist being heavy restrained. So it wasn't like he just said, like, I don't want to go to bed. He did have to be restrained. But yeah, they're hoping that, you know, hearing these stories sort of builds this idea of Laquan McDonald was a violent teenager who resisted authority repeatedly.
We can read Stacey St. Clair in the Chicago Tribune online right now. She's also reporting in print, of course. She's at the courthouse. I'll let you go and call upon you another day. Thank you again, Stacey.
Anytime, John. Take care.